When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Welcome to CarCast. That's right. Castrol CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. Good day, man. I want to thank JB Weld, proud sponsors of CarCast. Epoxy, adhesive, using by pros and DIYers for over 50 years. I love this stuff, JB Weld. I've been using this stuff for years. They've branched out.
They're doing everything.
Yep.
Super glues.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh. So lots of stuff going on.
Man.
Getting ready for heading up north. Fired up.
I thought you were going to say somebody's name.
Yeah.
I was sure you were going to say somebody's name after that.
Fired.
Yeah.
Up.
Okay.
The Z car. No, I was laughing because we, we kind of have these weird conversations with people, which is, I know what happens in life because I'm there. Other people watch video, listen to tapes of, and then give me misinformation, which is a weird, weird thing. Like when I'm talking to Rob about placing sliding doors, I'm not in the room with the sliding door. I'm saying to him, slide it to the right, even it up with the trim. Isn't it even? Well, there's a gap, you know, and I go, I'm picturing it in my head,
right.
But I'm at a disadvantage because I'm not there.
Yeah.
You're there, so I have to kind of listen to you, but I'm not getting the right info.
Yeah.
So I was, I was doing Kimmel a week and a half ago or whatever. We were talking. When you talk to the segment producer, there's this sort of thing where like, do you want, what's going on? What have you done? What do you want to do? What's coming up? And I go, well, I just got back from Europe, and I drove this car up the hill, and
some dude's driveway.
Driveway, and it's kind of cool, and he's like, yeah, video or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, we could whack together like a 30-second clip of it, and then they whack together a 30-second clip of it, and I'm always like, look, this is essentially a highlight reel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've always used this example, but I swear to God, Max Pat has been on the losing end of this a million times. But you tell me, so is Kalen over there, for that matter. So is everyone but me. But it's like somebody videotaped a whole basketball game, and then they go, hey, man, put together a highlight reel and present it to whatever. And then they went, okay. And they showed footage of you inbounding the pass to another guy and jogging behind him. And then there was another shot of you sitting on the bench. And then another shot of you shaking the opposing player's hand. And then you go, didn't I have three dunks in that game? And they go, well, yeah, I think. And then you go, well, how come we're not showing the dunks? And then they go, oh. I thought you just wanted shots of you. And I'm like, just do the show the good stuff.
Yeah,
now, the thing about
stuff.
The car stuff is you can hear the engine. If the engine's not winding up, don't use it. It's boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I've done car stuff where I go, just get the exciting stuff and whack it into one lap around the track. And then they present me with something and I'll go, well, that part's from the pace lap.
Yeah.
The race hasn't started yet. It's like, it's weird. I'm going like, just get the shit where the car's winding up and making the noise and this, that, and the other. So they whack together this thing. And it's always like, just get the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as Max Pata will test, it's tough. It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Although it's real easy as soon as I stand behind you and go, get this, get that, get the part where it's going up, not the part where it's not going, you know, the tack's going down, get the part where it's going up.
Yeah, my technical proficiency was okay. It's more of the creative and the making.
But the creative is turn the sound up and just listen to it. This was a guy named Doug at the other shop and Tony or whatever. And so they sent me a cut, but it was the cut. I told you on my first run, I caught the car in front of me.
Yeah.
Because that car was having some difficulties, I'm assuming. It was a 967 or 964, 917 or something. It's a fast car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the guy was having issues.
Right.
He was having issues all weekend. So on my first run, I caught him. And that's the one they use, but that was the one where I was off the gas.
Right.
Because I was catching him.
It takes the excitement out of it because you're not... This is a hill climb. This is you. So what the video should be what? It's an establishing shot. You getting in the car, putting your helmet on. You fire it up, green flag drops, and you take off.
Whatever it is.
A couple of here there
don't
corners.
Don't do the one where we're going down the straight at the end to the finish line, and I'm off the gas coasting because I'm catching a guy. Do the one where I'm on it.
Yeah.
So they presented that to me. And also, don't do the first run, because the first run, you're just feeling it out.
Right.
So that got presented to me, and then I sent him an email that said, don't do the first run.
Right.
And don't do the one where you're catching the guy. I did four runs. Do something from the third or fourth run.
Right.
So then...
They're like a minute long.
Then I went back, and they recut it, and they showed it to me. And I was still catching the guy. I could still see the guy in front of me. And I said, I told you, don't do the one where I'm catching the guy and do something from the third or fourth run. This is from the first run. And this is where my life blossoms. You were catching the guy in the second run. I said, I think it was the first run. But you have all the video, so I can't really tell you. But I think it was the first run. Either way, read my fucking email right now.
Is there a
third or fourth run?
You don't see the guy.
Okay, you have me on a technicality, but I said get it from the last runs, not the first run.
Yeah.
Or the second run, which I didn't say. Here's the world I live in. Max Bata. If I say use the footage from the third or fourth run and don't use it from the first run, you don't have me beat on a technicality if you use the second run.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Because I said third or fourth. So it was a lot of going back, a lot of going back there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I was showing you the other ongoing argument is the chitty, chitty, bang, bang car. Stop showing the wooden wheel cars.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it. Stop doing it in the B-roll. Just stop it. Well, it's an old car. Stop it.
They're terrible.
Show the cool cars.
They're not sexy.
They're not. And they're slow. And they're just, it's like they're all parade cars. They're all the Pebble Beach things. You know, 90% of Pebble Beach are those. And then the other 10% are the cars that we love and everybody wants to see.
It's just, it's a conversation you wouldn't think you'd have, but I've had it a million times. And it's just like, knock it off. And then the people go, I don't know anything about cars. And I go, okay, granted. But... You may not know anything about houses, but if I said just show Aaron Spelling's house and don't show outhouses, could you work that out? Like, could you work out super skinny wheels with wooden spokes and no livery on the car versus a 917-30 Can-Am Porsche that's slammed to the ground that says diehard batteries or Sunoco across the hood and blazoned in blue. Yeah. Like, can you figure out what's cooler?
If you could see through the wheel, chances are that's not the car you want because all those old vintage cars are just...
Right. All right.
You know, 16-inch rims with brake in it. Also, don't show a car that is taller than somebody's waist.
There you go. I will...
the video?
We ended up whacking together a 30-second quickie, and it looks pretty cool. It's kind of... I didn't sit in the bay because I had to do Kimmel, so I wasn't... But it'll give you guys a sort of perfunctory look at going up the hill.
Was it on Kimmel?
No, they never showed it. the first thing I said to him is, we need a shot.
I thought I went to the bathroom and I missed it. I was like, I don't remember seeing the video.
In my email is, we need an establishing shot of the outside of the car.
Right. That that's what I was just saying. You in the car, or you getting in the car.
That never happened either. Later on, I went and poked back a kind of cool one. But we'll show the video. We'll play the video.
Let's just hear the noise.
Let's hear it.
All right, going past the grandstand.
I'm going to go past it again because they're...
Yeah, all right, there you go. Yeah, it's trucking.
Yeah, car's looking good. They did a lot of deceleration stuff, but
they
picked
wall.
It up a little. The flint wall, and then going past it.
When they cut to the inside, they should show a shift.
Yeah, they don't.
Almost had it.
Almost.
Man, when I used to watch Miami Vice, every time they'd cut to the inside of the car, Don Johnson would be shifting. In a 30-second scene, he'd shift 19 times.
Yeah,
because there's not that many gears.
If you're
going
to cut inside, you want to see some action.
Yeah. They do the pedal thing, you know, like a lot of pedal movement in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then a lot of shifting in Miami Vice.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird world where you have to tell editors how to edit, and then they go, I don't know anything about cars. And you go, you don't need to know anything about cars.
Just watch Miami Vice.
Watch Miami Vice. Like, when you go inside the car, do a shift, and then go back outside the car.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Right?
It's weird. And when anyone... Now, imagine doing a 95-minute comedy, and you don't think you're going to live in that edit bay. You don't think you're going to sit in that goddamn edit bay for months and months and months. You can't go, well, this guy's a good editor. Let him edit it. No such thing.
No.
I would argue that the car thing is as perfunctory and mechanical as you can get. Like, it is basic. You can literally just go off the sound and edit. And even that, you got to go sit in the edit bay. So now do a comedy.
Yeah.
Have fun, everybody.
You're right. The car video, you can almost edit together with just the sound. Like, you could just not even look at it, and you can just hear what's going
on. You'd be surprised at how much of it is deceleration. Just like, versus, you know, that is, I mean, they're literally putting parade laps in there. Like, where it's like, no one's even driving. Yeah, I didn't know. It's like, I know you didn't know. Turn the sound up. You'll not hear us doing anything. All right, Gordon McCall is going to call in. He's the founder and director of Motorsports, director for the Quail, co-founder and director of Motorsports, director for the Quail. It's a weird title. Could be a little off. Co-founder and director of Motorsports, director.
I don't know. He runs the Gordon McCall events, and the two events we love. The Jet Center event, Sonny's not invited, but we love that event.
Mm-hmm.
And the Quail. Yeah. The Quail, a motorsports gathering. That's the official name. I like it. It's so formal.
And I think he's into 510s.
Yeah, too. He had a couple 510s. He sent some pictures of the 510s. So
50th anniversary coming up, by the way, the Lamborghini Islero and Espada, two cool cars. And the 70 years of the iconic Porsche 356 all... coming up, and the Elios Ruff reunion. I'm guessing Ruff is Porsche. R-U-F? Roof?
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. If you just did the roof or the Ruff, I'd be fine. If you do the Elios, I'm now confused because that's always just R-U-F, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be there as well. All right. Let me take care of a little Wrangler business here. Everyone has their favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great. No one knows this better than Wrangler. Wrangler jeans made for the modern day adventurers. Whether you're riding the bike or a Bronco or a skateboard, these jeans are for you and they fit you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits and price that works for you. Plus, they got vintage releases, old school stuff.
I got stretchy.
Wrangler has been doing, God, didn't they? They've done a lot of motorsports stuff, but didn't they do Dale Earnhardt's car?
Was that maybe
Wrangler? I feel like senior and maybe junior too. I'll have to figure that one out. Anyway, visit Wrangler.com. Check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world. Yeah, I feel like feel like there's some Wrangler NASCAR.
Junior's doing commercials for him. I thought he was doing commercials for him.
He was.
Yeah.
All right. So where was we? So we have a few things going on. We fired up the Z car.
Yes.
First time in 30-some
odd
years.
Now, let's clarify. Which Z car are we talking about here? You have all of them. And it was confusing. I posted to social media, and everybody's got...
There's Aaron Hart Sr. in front of his Wrangler.
Everybody's got comments. I said, hey, look, fully restored GT1 championship car.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, fully restored my ass. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, there's nothing original on that car. And I was like, well, I mean, you kind of get what I'm going here. We didn't start off with a 32 high boy and chip foos the hell out of it. Like, we were like, it was built, like, yeah, our engine, original parts on the block and heads and the intake and the roof with the Paul Newman's name and the chassis was straightened. And so, okay, yeah, built, rebuilt car. So somebody got me on a technicality, and I'm just going to say thank you for that person. but the point is the car looks fantastic. It's been a couple years in the making. The rebuilding, if you will. And we haven't had a chance to really kind of fire it up and get it down the street. We've been working on the suspension and dialing it in and making the brakes work and make sure it points in a straight line. So we fired it up. It went great. Sean went around the block. No body work on it. You know, we got it sitting a little high. No body work so we can see what's going on. It was fantastic. So, you know, I talked to you 30 seconds later and I was like, where are you? Why don't you come over? Hop in.
And that I did.
And you did.
So the car pulls real strong. Sounds good. Feels good. So we'll continue the sort of shakeout process of it.
I'm doing a little tuning on the dyno and then maybe a little suspension testing on the track before Monterey.
Yes.
Cross our fingers.
And I think that, you know, I'm trying to think. You know, Paul drove that car, won the championship in 85, he drove it at Road Atlanta. I know he didn't drive that car the following year because I have the following car that he drove. So the question would be, when is the last time that car was driven? Now, it won the championship, and when I got it, I'd have to kind of check some old photos and things of that nature. I can't remember if that car, one of the two championship cars showed up engineless, and the other one had an engine in it. It didn't run, but it had an engine in it. But one didn't have an engine in it. But I don't know if that one had the engine in it or didn't. And I'm also trying to figure out, as best we can, when that car ran last. So Paul drove it at Road Atlanta. He won the championship in 85. He drove another car in 86, but Fitzy could have driven that car in the following season, possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
Because at some point, there were definitely two of those cars, and I don't know if Fitzy had another car, whatever it is. Fitzy had a car that was destroyed at Miami, or not Miami, in Florida, that won. Remember you showed me footage of Miami Vice that had the car, had Newman's car, whatever.
Yes, yes.
And then I don't know if it was that year, but obviously Fitzy died on the track
right.
in Florida in that car.
Yeah.
In one of those cars. And I think that car was totaled. So that would lead me to believe that there was a third car that Fitzy drove.
Probably had his car.
Right.
Yeah.
So this car could have been driven by Fitzy in 86. It could have been driven by Scott Sharp, although Scott's probably a little young back then. I don't think he drove that car. Bob Sharp's son. Most likely, probably was retired, and they built him a new car
in
the following year.
Even looking at it when we got it and going through it, it doesn't look like it did much after that, if anything.
No.
It certainly didn't show up at a vintage race or something.
No.
Because it wouldn't have been ready for it. And then it was just a box of parts. And
the thing about those cars is, if they live on as race cars, as many of some of my old race cars did. The BRE Roadster, you know, oh, they go to the Dominican Republic and they get painted yellow and they put box flares on them and stuff like that. Like, they keep moving on as race cars. Well, then they keep being modified as race cars.
Yeah.
So the fact that when I got that car, it said Newman on the roof and it was red, white, and blue and it was Bob Sharp livery and it had all pieces and stickers and everything and bodywork and everything. Well, that suggests that some other team didn't pick it up and campaign it.
But also suggests Fitzy didn't drive it the next year with Newman's name still on the roof.
Let me write that down. Yeah, so it kind of suggests that with Paul's name still on the roof and no Fitzy on the roof and all the same team colors and stuff, it kind of suggests that it just got pulled off the track and sort of retired. When I bought it, it looked like it just got pulled off the track in 1985 and just sat there for 20 years, and then I bought it.
Yeah.
So this should be the first time it's put back together and put back on the track.
Yeah. It's exciting to see. It's going to be fantastic to get out there. And now that you got a little taste of it over the weekend, just around the block, you got to be excited to get into it because it seemed like it was running really strong. And we weren't getting up there under the RPMs too much. Maybe 6,000. And it's got another, 1,800 left in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It's a good car.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll keep you posted with that. Oh, we'll show you that vid. Why don't you do Geico, and then we'll show that vid.
Well, you know what? I'll do Castrol Edge. How about that one?
I'll do that one.
All right. Heat, friction, and viscosity breakdown will rob your engine of friction of maximum performance. Friction results in the loss of performance of up to 10%, which is crazy. If you think about a 400-horsepower engine, if you lost 30, 40 horsepower, you'd be pissed.
I would.
Castrol Edge, it's engineered with fluid titanium technology. It physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. And Castrol Edge helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. It is 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine.
All right, so we'll get Gord McCall on the blower. We'll show you this little quickie vid of Sean firing up the car, and then later on me going down the street in the car. And it's minus body work, but you get the idea. Get to see how the car works. Sean was looking for a serial number on the car. I'm like, I don't think it has one.
Gives you goosebumps.
It does. Design the car. And a nice V6 in there with a turbo, one big turbo. It's going down the street. Sunday's the preferred day for that kind of activity.
This is a closed course. We had permits.
That's right. We pulled permits. Cops block it off.
Yeah, you had your foot down on that one.
Yeah, it's a quick car, works good, and all that good stuff. So we'll keep you posted with that. We're going to get Gordon on the blower. Let's see. So he's got the Quail, which is the best, and then he's got the
Jet Center.
Where's the Jet Center on my list?
The Jet Center is the Motorworks Revival.
I'm trying to think of where that is. Is that on my list? Okay. Motorworks Revival. Oh, that's the Jet Center.
That's the Jet Center.
All right. So that's on Wednesday.
I think we're going to try to get that event.
Yeah, we'll try to get to both. All right. Do we have Gordon up? No. We're finding Gordon. All right. Means we're going to have to talk about cars for 10
seconds. I'll tell you about the Hino.
Yeah, tell me about the Hino.
So we're trying to get the Hino done. Bodie's been working on it. We want to take it to Monterey. We're going to use it as her support truck. It'll be on display at the track with your other cars and all the other Nissan group there, where we're doing CarCast Live Saturday at noon. So come out for that. The Hino will be there. Bodie's been working on it, and he obviously got this LS crate engine swapped into it. He did fire it up the other day, and our buddy Ray, Dino Ray, is going to go over there with his laptop and tune it a little bit, and they're going to drive it around the neighborhood to get it done. It's pretty crazy because he was trying to get power steering installed into it. Never had power steering, and just talking to everybody on the planet about doing something, it just wasn't working. So just to make it a little bit easier, because he said it was really tough to move around, is he upped the steering wheel from a 16-inch to a 20.
Well, there you go.
You know, so that kind of solved the problem. There was a big issue with wheels.
Yeah.
So Alcoa wheels, like you'd see on an F-350 or something like that, or what's on its now. Actually, a lot of fabrication to make that work. Machine spacers and custom wheels and stuff like that to get it done.
Oh, we're looking at chrome wheels.
So today it's getting tires mounted on it, and they're gonna put it down the street. Without the tune, you can just kind of get it around.
Yeah. All right.
It's
good.
So it's looking good. It's looking good. So we got
Ray's got to come with you. So those are Alcoa aluminum rims?
Yeah, those are Alcoa.
They're not chromed.
They're not chromed. They're aluminum rims.
Shiny.
In the picture that we have, you'll see a big hole going from the cab to the bed of the truck, the back of the truck. The upholstery guy has got to come over and seal that up and then do the carpets. But the seats are already out getting upholstery done. So it should be in pretty good shape.
We're looking forward to that. Gordon McCall is on line one. Gordon?
I'm here.
Good to speak to you again.
How are you, Adam? Thanks for having me back.
Doing well. Say hi to Matt as well.
Hello.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Gordon.
So we talk about the Quail, a motorsports gathering. That's coming up on Friday, August 24th. And then the Jet Hangar Party, Jet Center Party, Motorsports Revival 27th anniversary celebration. That'll be Wednesday. That'll be that Wednesday before that Friday, and that'll be on August 22nd.
But Gordon and I have been sending emails and sending pictures of 510s to each other.
So, it's pretty bad.
That's
pretty bad.
That's how we got into this. We're like, what's going on? He's like, here's my 510 from back in the day. It was good.
When I was 16, 1974.
Well,
Adam, you've led the way here with the resurgence in popularity. I just want to go on record that I was cool before I knew it, and had a 510 in 74, and that was my pride and joy. I recently picked up a 240Z to kind of relive my past, and just loving every minute of it. I just love what you've done to bring notoriety and popularity. I mean, those race cars you've got are so important, and for some strange reason, for years, and I think Peter Brock would agree, that just for years, they were, I don't want to say unloved, but it's like, guys, these were important cars. They killed the series.
Yeah, and they didn't catch on yet. You know, like...
No.
Well, it's kind of a... We work in weird cycles as a society, you know? And I remember as a kid, being a young kid, the joke you'd play if somebody bought you a birthday gift and it was a baseball mitt and went, here you go, you'd look at it and go, oh, made in Japan. And everyone would laugh because that was them being cheap and that was a knockoff and whatever.
Yeah,
so there
right.
was a stigma to the old Japanese cars, but you couldn't argue with the record and the winning.
I was going to say, nobody bought you a baseball glove.
When I was at someone else's car.
You saw somebody else's baseball glove. The theme for the Jet Center, from what I understand, I mean, always a great mix of cars, but because our friends from Nissan are bringing up some of their cars from the museum and stuff, I think you have them first Wednesday night, right? And then they go to the track?
Yeah, we've put together a pretty neat, and I've always had, it's funny, I've always had Datsuns there. Like, for years, I've had Datsuns there. And, you know, we had the 46 car there, I don't know, probably 10, 15 years ago.
Morton's car.
And that's just personal. Yeah, right. Morton's car. That's just a personal little homage that I've always had. This year, it's fun. Peter Brock and Gail, they're bringing, it's their former, but that crazy Datzilla that Pete built with the V8 Chevy in it.
Yep.
That's coming. Joel Anderson's GTU car. We've got a bunch of kind of Northern California competition cars that were really serious warriors in the 70s. They're showing up. So, yeah, we're doing a nod to Nissan. We don't have, it's not an official factory presence. We're actually doing something fun with Toyota in that regard. I've got Toyota Motorsports. We're doing a, believe it or not, that Jet Center event was one of Dan Gurney's favorite things to attend every year. And we had a long friendship with Dan and Evie, and so this year we're honoring Dan. I do not want to let Car Week go by without a major nod to Dan. And I think we're all on the same page when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So the folks at Toyota are bringing out a couple of his championship AAR Toyotas that they had won with, the GTP car and the Trans Am car. And we're honoring Dan that night, you know, for all the right reasons. So we're going to have some fun.
Well, we love Dan. We love the event. And if you want to get excited over in the 510 world, I was able to get the last BRE 510 that they built as a privateer car a few months back, and we're working on putting that thing back together. So,
oh, no kidding.
That's exciting. Not to my wife.
Unclear. She knows about it?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's make two categories. Have I told her about it? Yes. Does she know about it? No. But yeah. Yes, I have told her about it.
Yeah.
There's a big chasm between what I tell people and what they know.
Yeah.
So
isn't that true, Adam?
But I gotta say, we will now have four BRE official built race cars and the Hino transport that moved many of them around. So that's
just so cool.
In the Japanese car world, that's pretty darn cool.
Maybe keep that in mind for next year.
Absolutely. You've got carte blanche with me, so keep that in mind. And regarding car count, et cetera, I've got a problem with vintage motorcycles as well. And I've got a similar gig with my very patient wife, Molly, and it's always, oh, that one? That old thing? I've had that for talking about? That one's been around for a long time. They all do kind of look alike, you know?
Well, you talking about wives? So, Gordon, the quail is our favorite. And, you know, again, it's like picking your favorite child. But the quail is our favorite because I literally run in the group I run in. In large part because of the quail, because practice is Friday morning, and then we finish up practice, and then we can go enjoy some champagne at the quail. Yeah. And it would not be the same weekend if I had to get back in the car at 2 in the afternoon, or it ran that afternoon or later, whatever, the quail would be all botched up. So for us, that is the premier event. Now, is that thing sold out? Is it always sold out?
You know, for 16 years, Adam, it is. Yes, it is sold out. And again, it's going to be another bell ringer. It's 235 cars, and we're featuring, this is right up your alley. We're going to honor 50 years of the Lamborghini Espada and Azzalero, arguably the forgotten stepchildren of the brand. We've got, I think, 25 or 26 of them coming collectively. Obviously 50 years of Lamborghini is a cool thing. So is the 70th anniversary for Porsche. Alois Roof is we've lined up a bunch of Bruce Meyer's going to bring Yellowbird 001, and I think there's about 10 other roofs coming. It's going to be a really, the food, the beverage, the hospitality that Quail Lodge is famous for. Peninsula Hotel Group, obviously a 5-star operation. It's always the finest. And you know what's really funny about that show, and I'm really appreciative of your kind words regarding it, but that show has not been knocked off.
No.
16 years later, no one else, and we hear about the ticket price, et cetera, but, you know, when you compare apples to apples here instead of apples to oranges, it's amazing that it just goes to show how difficult and how hard the Peninsula Signature Events Office works year-round to pull that thing off, because it's not easy feeding that many people at that level, you know, where there's actual real china.
Yeah. Where do you cut it off, numbers-wise?
How many people you let in there, yeah?
Yeah, it's 5,500, and it's a hard count. You know, there's no flexibility in that, which is why it sells out. So, you know, and it's they're acknowledging that you can't entertain the world at that level. You just can't. So you do your best to, you know, to keep the headcount manageable, and that's where it's been. So it does sell out, though. That's the unfortunate thing. You can still get it. We crack things loose at my Jet Center event. We do things a little differently. We do hold some tickets back. So we do have tickets available at mccallevents.com for that, for last-minute planners. You know, not everybody can plan months ahead. You know,
but
I know how that is.
But you can't walk up to the gate, right? At Jet Center, you can't walk up to the gate.
No, you know, you can. We like to accommodate those folks. So like I said, just like the tickets we hold back and make available to purchase leading up to the event, we hold back. It's a small amount, but it does enable the last minute, you know, gee, I think I'm going to go check this event out. We have tickets at the door.
Good.
Well, yep. Also, you're going to have some Lancias or however you pronounce it.
The great Lancias category. And boy, talk about a wide range. You know, everything from the B20, you know, literally the first V6 sports car, that, you know, talk about unloved marquees. That was certainly, you know, and all of a sudden now the B24 Aurelia Spiders, those are the it car. They're, you know, well over seven figures now, kind of out of the blue. But I think people are recognizing those are amazing cars.
Well, you know? Now, are you going to have our friend John Campion bringing some of his cars?
How could you not?
Actually, John is the reason why I started the category.
Sure.
Well, that's easy to curate. Hey, John, you want to bring your cars? Yeah. Done. Yeah. Category's done.
And, oh, by the way, Gulfstream, yeah, bring it. I've got room for it at the Jet Center.
Yeah.
So, he's a great guy. Very enthusiastic guy.
You know, I had him in on my motivational podcast, Take a Knee, just to talk about his life and his business and where he comes from and how he came up and all that kind of. We weren't here to talk about cars. We're here just to talk about business and work and family and, you know, all that stuff. And at some point, he just kind of let it slip out that he had some cars and was been on ever since
yeah,
then.
You're like, I'm listening.
He loves those race cars, and I love the race cars. And there are a lot of times you run into a car guy and you start talking to the car guy, and he's like, I'm a Mopar guy. And it's like, I don't have that much to talk about. But he gets the little nimble race cars.
Yeah.
And which cars did you say were seven figures now?
The B24 are really Spiders. They're well over $1 million.
I'm trying to picture what that car. I'm trying to picture.
Yeah, think of not the prettiest Italian car ever built, but mechanically so advanced, and the attention to detail, the accoutrements, all the door handles, the switch gear. They were really for their date. That they were in another planet. They really were.
Oh we're looking at one now. Yeah. Yeah, I do know the car.
Those were cars, literally, guys, just a few years ago, no buyers at 250,
right?
300.
Now they're like a million plus. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see. What's nice to see is the market expanding. So it used to be Ferrari, Porsche, or maybe a Ford Shelby or something. Other than that, there was no room for Lancias or Datsuns or anything. It was just sort of this one narrow kind of group. You had to get a Mercedes Gullwing. Otherwise, forget it. And now all this funky, crazy stuff. And as a matter of fact, people want the smaller batch, funkier, crazier stuff now.
Yeah. Totally. You know, Adam, I think to your point, too, it a lot of this has to do with this huge interest, and I think this is all demographics, huge interest in supercars and hypercars. But, you know, if it's shaped like a doorstop, anybody under 35 is all over it, you know, and that's great. I think that's really good for the industry because it's bringing new people into it. But simultaneously, it's getting people to look outside the norm. You know, there are cars out there other than Porsches and Ferraris that are interesting and in their day were significant. People just didn't really know it at the time, you know?
Well, again, we'll find John and look at some of those race cars that he's brought, and your mind will be blown. Also, in that that great Martini Rossi, or just Rossi delivery, the livery of that car is just some Golf Martini Rossi, and all those. There's just a handful of ones that are just made to be put on a car.
Yeah.
And those cars are great that way.
You know, iconic, you know.
Yes, we love it. All right, so Gordon McCall, we shall see you Wednesday and Friday, God willing.
Yep.
And that'll people should go. Now, the Quail, no mas with the tickets for that, but for the Jet Hangar, we can get those. You can go to the website McCallEvents.com for Wednesday, August 22nd, 5 to 10 o'clock. Great event, and we'll be there.
It's a cool show, and I will throw in because the planes that are there as well.
Yes.
You know, like, definitely don't skip over those. They're fun.
I've got some wild planes coming this year. And, you know, guys, I have to thank you so much for having me on after the porn stars. Just personally, I'm flattered. That's a tough act to follow, and I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Gordon. We'll see you very soon.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Favorite weekend of the year coming up.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I like that guy. He's always fun. Just every time you need to exchange emails, go, hey, what's going on with the event? He comes in. He's like, this is what we're doing. And then also, check out this picture of my 510 from back in the day, because he's still a car guy. He's just a good car guy.
Well, I'd say more so than almost any car. Let's think about this. I'm going to tease this. I want you to think about this.
Okay.
See, there's Porsche guys, but I don't really think they're car guys. And there's Ferrari guys. I don't really think they're car guys. They're like loafer and wristwatch guys and chick guys.
Right. You know, but you're saying a Porsche guy is a Porsche guy. It's a Porsche car guy. It's not like a beyond the...
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I'd say, sadly, the guys that are driving... Like, you see these... I just saw, like, Cardi B and Backwash or whatever her husband's name is. And they're like, they bought new Lamborghinis, you know? Yeah. And it's like, they're not car people. They're rich people. You know what I mean? But they still get a picture of them sitting on the hood of the Lambos.
Well, that's the first indication of not a car person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
Cardi
B and Offset. He's changed his name from Backwash to Offset. But they're sitting on the hood of Lambos.
Yeah.
All right, look. No judgment. I don't judge.
No, it's good for
you
sales
can't
for the
judge.
Company.
Chris knows I don't judge.
No, not at all.
It's not. It's impossible for me to judge.
It's not in you.
I'm saying they're not car guys. They're rich guys who want a Lamborghini, right?
Right.
So the question is, getting a Lamborghini Aventador doesn't make you a car guy. It makes you possibly a car guy, but also just means rich rapper.
Right.
What car, and Porsche's that way, not to a lesser degree. I'd say the Lambo's the furthest out there. You know what I mean? And then there's, you know, Ferrari.
But Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce. Bentley. But yeah, but that's just sort of rich guy. I don't even think of you as a car guy with the thing. But you could be a car guy with a Ferrari guy. But what I'm saying is look, you stop everyone driving a Rolls Royce and a Bentley and ask them what the displacement is of the engine that's pulling their car around, 97% of them have no idea.
Yeah.
You tell a Ferrari guy what's the displacement of this engine, it's 35, 40% won't know what that is. Porsche, you get a smaller percent who won't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what is the car? So you might say Mustang.
Okay.
Because you're a Mustang guy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a minute. You think about it. And Max Panna?
Uh-huh.
Kaylin? You think about it as well.
Wait,
you got to tell me the car that you have or that you're into that makes you where I know you're a car guy. You tell me I got a new Ferrari. Listen, Paris Hilton got herself a Ferrari.
Yeah.
I don't think she's a car person.
No.
She likes cars, but she doesn't know anything about cars.
She got the Mercedes McLaren.
She got an LFA.
Yeah. That's a good dealer. There's somebody out here.
So you want us to just hypothetically pick any car, and you're going to judge us by the car we pick to see if we'd be a car guy.
That's not what I've been saying for 26 minutes.
No, no.
The thing is, you tell me the car where you know that person's a car person.
Right.
Okay.
Which I've been saying.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same thing. I just kind of twisted a little bit.
No, it's not the same thing. You were going to arbitrarily pick a car, and I was going to tell you we're a car guy. That's the exact opposite of me saying you pick the car where you know that person is a car person if they have that car and they're talking about the car.
What's the car guy
car? Exactly the opposite.
It's 1,000. No, it's the opposite. You just said you want us to arbitrarily pick a car, and the answer is no, not arbitrarily.
Name the car that makes you a car guy.
Yes. Get rid of the word arbitrarily pick a car. That's what I'm saying. Mm. Pick not don't be you said all arbitrarily
said hypothetically pick
a car and then I will name whether that person's a car guy or not. Oh, you said arbitrarily or hypothetically?
Hypothetically.
Listen to the tape. We got to figure this out.
Arbitrarily is not in my vocab. So
oh, that's true.
No way I said
all right,
that.
Hypothetically.
Never even heard of that other word.
All right. Pick a car where you know that person would be into cars.
Yeah.
And if it's Mustang, you can't just go Mustang. You have to pick the SHO or something.
I get what you're going. And so it's not like a brand thing. We've been saying Porsche and Lamborghini, but we're not doing that. Pick a car.
Well, it'll have a brand, but it'll be a specific model. Yeah.
All right.
And it could be within the Porsche realm. Like, you want to know? I'll give you an example. Guy tells me he's got a new Porsche or turbo Porsche or something. I'll go, that's a rich guy. If that guy tells me he's got a 73 914-6, I'll go, okay, that guy knows.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows cars.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Okay. I'll tell you about J.B. Weld. proud sponsor of CarCast, America's favorite epoxy adhesive. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for 50 years now. If you've got a big or small project in your home, garage, workshop, or craft room, you need a strong, dependable, and permanent adhesive strength. You need JB Weld. These guys, I've been using these guys for a million years, but always in the shop, the auto shop, never around the house. Well, now it's around the house. They got a wide variety of epoxy and super glue, silicone products for repairing plastics, wood, metal, and more. Made in the U.S. of A, everyone. We've tried their products, and we recommend JB Weld. Use them at the other shop. Use them at home. You find them with other adhesives at Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, O'Reilly, Advanced Auto Parts, Walmart, Amazon. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. All right, what do you got, Motor Raider?
You know, I would say if you had something like an Alfa Romeo, like GTA or GTV. I think it's special enough in the Alfa Romeo category.
GTA especially.
You know, you got to know what you have, because you see a GTA and a GTV and you're like, they're very similar but a big price range difference. And you're like, A is the way to go because you know why.
It's pretty much aluminum and they look a little bit different. And one is 250 to 300K and the other is 40 to 60.
And that's just not a car where you can walk in and go, this thing is cool, money's no object, I want it. Like, you really seek it out. That's, if I had to pick something quickly, I'd go with that.
It's a good call. Max Pata?
All the car guys I grew up had a Honda S2000, so I'm going to go with that.
Ooh, that's interesting.
For a modern play, I would say that's very reasonable.
That was the highest naturally aspirated horsepower per liter car available when it came out.
Yeah.
120 horsepower per liter.
Yeah.
At some point, I think the Ferrari Stradale 360 took it over. I got a text Lynette. Let's see if we can get some clarification there.
Yeah. But good for Honda. That's a big spread if the Stradale is what needs to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't beat it by much because the Stradale was like a 3 liter or 3.6 or whatever and had, you know, 388 or whatever the math was. It only beat it by a couple of points.
Good call, Chris.
Good call
on that one.
All right. Now be prepared for disappointment because here comes Cam.
I picked a Nissan GTR.
Ooh, that's interesting because that does say,
I like it.
That's a good call because that GTR says I could drive a 911 and I wouldn't have to tell chicks I drive a Nissan.
Right.
I could tell them I drive a Porsche, but there's so much more in this car, so much more technology.
Performance-wise and technology, it's so cool. It's the only car that you show off to your boys, right? Like that's... You're right. You got to know that car. I think that one was pretty good, too.
It's good because the chick you're dating, if her friends ask, she's going to say you drive a Nissan or a Z. She's going to go, he's got a Z car.
It's so funny because when that car first came out and I got a press car to drive a GTR, you'll just drive down just like in Santa Monica or something, and you'll see the guy and his girl, this happened 3 or 4 times, standing on the corner of the sidewalk, and he'll give her a little shoulder nudge, a little elbow nudge, and go, look at that, that's a GTR. She'll look up, not see anything, look back down on her phone. And he's like, you know what that is? She's like, I don't care. But that's what makes that car cool.
I'm going back to the old tried and true 510, the Datsun 510. There was a time when you had one of those cars where people, you know, years ago still had one for like transportation.
Like a pedestrian car. Like
those days are kind of done. I've not really seen it. Well, if there is a street going version of it, that guy's into it.
Yeah.
But that means that person is into it. Like, they're into wrenching on that car. They're into driving that car. Not when it came out. Right now. If I meet someone at a cocktail party tonight and I ask them what they got or what their second car is or what they're into, and they go Datsun 510s, that guy's into going around corners fast and driving that car.
Yeah.
No one goes, I got a 510, but I just kind of look at it. or I bought it because I want to flip it, or whatever. That didn't mean. As a matter of fact, I don't even know what percentage of those cars are left in street trim anymore.
Well, they made a lot of them.
I know they made a lot of them, but in this country, especially in where we are.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we live in a world where we see hundreds in race trim to every five in street trim.
Yeah.
And the street trim is almost done ironically. Like, they got it and they put a different motor in it and they had it, blah, 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 like a Jaguar rear-ended it or something. But I mean, it's like, how many just 510s do you see that have not been breathed on?
Yeah.
Flared, whatevered. I don't even
not on bring a trailer.
I don't even.
Yeah, well, congratulations for everybody for not cheating. You could have said something like Ariel Adam because there's no way you buy that and not know what it is.
Yeah,
plus Kaylin doesn't know what it is.
But
point made.
I will say this. That's a very good sort of yardstick because if you go to bring a trailer, there's always a couple of 510s and there's always something done to them.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't find that way with
because people wanted to or it's because they had to.
Well, you have to because it don't work. But I'm trying to think of like, you know, the car that's never breathed on, Jag E-types.
Right.
Every single Jag E-type you ever see, whatever condition, nut and bolt restoration or barn fine, is just what it is.
Right. Yeah.
You don't even find different rims on those cars because they have knockoffs, right? Every single 510 you find has been something's been done to it.
Yeah. But later in the year, that V12 two-door coupe, they put the Chevy swaps in them.
Oh, that's true. That was out of full necessity, though.
That was all of necessity.
But I like it. All right, tell us about what you got, Geico.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. If you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
And you can check me out. Live podcast coming up, Pasadena, Seattle, Phoenix, Anaheim. Matt's going to be in Detroit Saturday, August 11th. Going to be doing a live Roadkill Nights at 4 p.m. with Goldberg and Matt drag racing over there.
Doing a podcast, doing some drag racing.
We're going to be at the Nissan booth Saturday, August 25th in Monterey. So that's good times. You can check out Shift and Steer. You can see our friend, check out Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin. There's another wrestler. Check out his pod on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. And support the show. Go to the website, carcastshow.com. Send us your tweets and your pictures. Look, we get on that stuff. We like hearing from you. Check out Shift and Steer with Matt at Podcast One and chassis.com. Lots of good movies coming up there and already up there. 24 Hour War and winning and everything else. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla. For Matt, the Motorator, Daniel, and Gordon McCall saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.